You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based podcast that spotlights Black women who replace silence with storytelling around pregnancy and infant loss and infertility. Black women experience miscarriage and stillbirth 4 to 5 times more likely than white women, according to the NIH and CDC. Whether you've experienced a miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, are trying to conceive, or have an infertility diagnosis, you will learn about resources and strategies to heal, gain clarity, peace, hope, and find an empowering path forward after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee, and you will hear me interview sisters in loss who have healed from such a painful and traumatic experience by sharing their testimonies and stories to inspire and help others turn their pain into their purpose. Now let's get started.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes. So I would love for you to begin by sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do.
My name is Toria West. I am I'm in software sales for the energy industry. I've done that my entire career, so almost 20 years. I have a husband, one living daughter, teenager now. Oh. We live in the Midwest, but I'm from the South, so a Southern girl at heart. So it's just a little bit about me.
Absolutely. But obviously you have a story to tell. So I would love for you to take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us your story.
So yeah, my motherhood journey began in 2008 with my conception of my daughter, who's now a teen. So that pregnancy was what I call textbook. I had no issues. It was the typical, you find out you're pregnant, you call the doctor, they say, oh, okay, come and see us in like 8 weeks. You go in, you do that first little, you know, whatever. They say, come back in a couple months. You do that check. Still no ultrasound at this point. You get the first ultrasound at, let's say, 18 or so weeks, between 18 to 20 weeks. They do all the measurements. You find out the sex if you want to, and which we did at the time. And then, you know, then it's the usual, you know, monthly to biweekly to weekly visits, right? When I think about it, I'm like, I only had one ultrasound. That's crazy to me. But that was all that they required of me at that point. And my daughter was born full term in the hospital, vaginal delivery, like healthy baby, no problems, textbook, like I said. So fast forward, my husband and I found out we're pregnant in 2013, and it's a surprise pregnancy. So meaning like we weren't necessarily like actively like trying, but we weren't like saying, hey, let's go, let's try for another child. And so we found out we're pregnant, and pregnancy is going fine. I go in for my 16-week, I think, appointment. Yeah, 16-week appointment. And the nurse practitioner couldn't find a heartbeat. And I am like shocked. Like, it's like the wind was knocked out of me, right? Because but one of the things I remember about this particular pregnancy and everything that we went through with it is the nurse practitioner at the time was pregnant. She called in an ultrasound tech who was more, just kind of more aware of how to use the ultrasound machine to look for different like layers and blood flow, et cetera. So she called her in, she was pregnant. They confirmed no blood flow, no heartbeat. Okay. So then I have to go and get a D&E because I'm so far along. And with the D&E process, they do something where they have to like open up your cervix. It's not a typical D&C. So they have to do, I think they're called luminaries or seaweed sticks. So go through that procedure, which is very painful. but that doctor was pregnant. And I just remember thinking, why is every doctor, a nurse practitioner that I'm seeing pregnant when I no longer have my baby? Like, this is just crazy. But because they asked if I wanted to get testing done, and I said yes. So I wanted to know what happened. And so the testing came back and they found nothing that was a contributing factor to why I lost that pregnancy or why I lost that baby. I did find out it was a baby boy. I found out that I had a vanishing twin, meaning that the initial pregnancy was a twin pregnancy. But somewhere before my 8-week checkup or my 8-week ultrasound, that baby had like stopped growing and had just been reabsorbed, they said, like back into the placenta somehow. And they also found something called a balanced translocation in the baby that I did lose. Well, you know, in the pregnancy that I lost. Didn't know what that was. They said that could be just, it could have been just that baby had it, or that baby could have gotten it from me or my husband. So they then sent me and my husband in to get genetic testing to see if one of us was a carrier. So then we did get that testing done, and we find out that I have the same balanced translocation as that baby. And I never knew, ever. At this point, I'm in my 30s, and I'm just finding this out. So now we see a genetic counselor. So the genetic counselor talks us through kind of what this means as far as my ability to carry children moving forward. And what I remember vividly is just her saying that with my particular translocation, and it's based on like the size of the breaks of my translocation in the chromosomes, that I have a very high chance of miscarriages, typically in the first trimester. Okay. But I have a successful pregnancy under my belt. So if we want to keep trying, let's keep trying. So, okay, moving forward. I have a pregnancy in 2015 that I lose at 13 weeks. As a girl, I did a DNC with that pregnancy, found out unbalanced translocation. So that pregnancy was a direct correlation to having the chromosomes not balanced. Okay. At some point, I can't remember what year, but at some point we did see a IVF doctor. And that doctor said, hey, you can get pregnant, so IVF could help figure out, like, you know, if the embryo is balanced or not. But since you have this healthy pregnancy under your belt, you can just keep trying. Okay. So that's what we do. 2016, have a miscarriage. 2017, miscarriage. 2018, pregnancy. But pregnancy, I said pregnancy, like the other ones weren't pregnancies, but there was a miscarriage, but I had a DNC on that pregnancy. So that too was another unbalanced translocation. So after that, my gynecologist said, okay, you pretty much have to do IVF now if you want to continue. You just have to go. So we schedule an appointment for IVF. I remember it was January of 2019 is when we had that appointment scheduled. I also remember when I was in the hospital for the DNC for that particular pregnancy it was October of 2018. I remember telling my husband, I want to go to Maui and I want to go like as soon as possible. Like we are getting away for Christmas. I want to go to the islands. I want to just like get away. Came back. I remember coming back out of the procedure. He had booked everything. Everything was booked. Great. We are going to Maui for Christmas. And while we're in Maui, something was off. Like, and I was like, could I be pregnant? Okay. So we get back from Maui. I take a pregnancy test. Lo and behold, I'm pregnant. So I don't even get a chance to go to the IVF doctor to even do a preliminary nothing. And that pregnancy was for my baby boy, Lion, who I went through pregnancy. Everything was looking fine. We had our 20-week scan. And at that 20-week scan, we find out that he has a lot of markers. So he has, he's missing digits on fingers and, on hands and feet. He has a intestinal blockage. He has some issues with his heart. He has, I forget, something in the brain. And they may have said something else, but I honestly couldn't remember. But there were a lot of markers. And so we needed to go see yet again another genetic counselor to see what was going on. The markers. Then it was an amnio. And then a genetic counselor. Amnio results come back. Amnio results come back showing he has an unbalanced translocation. This particular translocation, they called a partial trisomy 15. Very rare, not a whole lot of information on it, but not looking great, if you will. So talk to a genetic counselor. We have meetings with a team of with maternal fetal medicine doctors, so specialists that have all looked at, the results, test results, et cetera. And they basically look at me and say, if you like, we can schedule you to terminate for medical reasons because of all of the issues that your son has. And I forget how many weeks at this point. I'm 20, 21 weeks. And so I don't have a whole lot of time to, I have a very little time to make this decision, but ultimately my husband and I talked about it and I told him I cannot make the decision to terminate. Like I cannot do it. So we didn't do it. So we moved forward. And in moving forward, that just meant a lot of doctor's appointments, a lot of ultrasounds, a lot of testing, et cetera. He was born 5 weeks early, August 13th. He had to be delivered with cesarean section because he was sideways. And he had to be basically, as soon as he was born, immediately rushed to the NICU. Team of doctors had to intubate him, get him stable before we could go into NICU to see him. When he was born, it was like he was amazing because he had made it already past so many obstacles that I think a lot of doctors didn't think he would even meet. He stayed in the NICU at the birthing hospital for a few days, and then he was transferred to the Children's Hospital NICU. And from there, it was just testing, monitoring, more testing, monitoring. He had to have surgery on day 3 of life because of his intestines. It's like his intestines was blocked. So at some point during gestation, his intestines at one point it seemed worked because there was meconium, but then at some point stopped. Don't know why, don't know how. But anyway, so he had to have surgery. He got through the surgery well. And so then he could start eating through a feeding tube, but he could start getting nutrition. And then we could, do things like bathe him and change his diapers and things of that nature. We did that for 4.5 months. And at 4.5 months, his body just got tired and he passed away. And that was in January of 2020. So January 4th. So then we lost our son. And then entered into a pandemic. So, Yeah.
Wow. I want to honor your tears because they are worth it. And we don't hold them back here. We allow them to come. We feel our feelings. And obviously, we want to honor your son. So thank you for sharing this story and this journey up until this point. So obviously, those 4 months, you were in and out of the NICU the entire time. I mean, you pretty much probably spent most of your days at the NICU preparing for, you know, him to pass away at some point, right? Or did they give you different prognoses? I know the NICU journey is up and down and all around. So can you share more about your NICU journey? And then, you know, when he did pass away, did you all do any rituals or things for him to memorialize him during that time?
Sure. So NICU life, oh my gosh, right? It is not for the faint of heart. It is, and it's not something that anyone can prepare you for, or something that, you know, it's like a club all in of itself, just NICU. And yes, you're right. So, you know, we have a daughter who's going to school and who's, you know, going through this at the same time because this is her brother. And so we are trying to be at the hospital with Lion as much as possible and then be home with her as much as possible, divide and conquer however we can. And so, you know, NICU life is, for me, NICU life for me was like, okay, I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm about to experience, but I know that this is my child. I know he's sick. I know he's got a lot of things going on, but he's here. So what are we going to do while he's here to keep him here for as long, within reason, as long as possible, right? Because what we chose not to just have him like on a ventilator if he was just not responsive or not doing anything, but we never got there, right? His eyes was opening. He was rooting, putting fingers in his mouth. He was cooing. You know, he was doing these things. Now, while he might have been slower doing it than other babies, and his growth and his weight was not even on the charts yet. He was on his own charts. But he was doing things slowly but surely. So he was in physical therapy. He was in occupational therapy. I was the note-taking queen. I mean, I had every day what was his weight, every day what was his, every week what was his height. You know, how much food was he getting? What were they, we're going up on his meals, something when they were doing his sprints, how often are we doing his sprints for breathing? Like, I mean, I have no medical background professionally, but I became the pseudo doctor that I needed to become while I was in NICU. And every doctor, nurse, specialist that walked in that room, you were going to talk to me and you were going to explain things to me and you were going to get questioned by both me and my husband to the nth degree. And so we fully understood. And you were not going to dismiss my child. You were not going to dismiss him. I don't care what if he has. I don't care his chromosomal abnormality. I don't care about all these other things. He is here. He is my child. You are not going to dismiss him. So what are we going to do? Like, that was our attitude. That was our approach. And by the end of it, we had a reputation. You don't go in that room with these parents if you aren't prepared to talk to them and hear them out. And you know, that was really our, and that's what I would say to any mom, any parent that has to live the NICU life, advocate. Like, do not take any doctor's, nurse's, specialist's word like at face value. Ask, research, ask again. We had so many team meetings, to talk about Lion and to talk about his health and to talk about his progress. So, you know, like, I think at the end of the day, I think the doctors probably would have said, yes, he eventually will pass away. But my husband and I were not living our lives in that way. We were living our lives in a way that said, he is here. And as long as he is here, we are going to do all, we are going to be the best parents we can be for him while he's here. So we're going to advocate for him just like we would any of our other living children that wasn't in, we're going to treat him, change his diapers. I know his feeding schedule. Like, I was still pumping, like, so I could supplement his food with my breast milk, like the whole thing. We were doing it. And looking back on it, like just saying it, I'm exhausted. Looking back on it though, it was almost like robotic. Like you just got up and did it.
Absolutely. That became your normal. And I think that what a lot of people don't realize is that you're still doing that and still have to maintain regular life. You know,
yes, my husband was working
and working, yeah. And like you said, school with your daughter and trying to create a sense of normalcy for her and continuing on. So yes, I love that advice for parents who are in the NICU. You just got to continue to advocate and don't take no for an answer.
Absolutely.
And always get more opinions because they don't always give you all the options for all of the different prognoses or just all the different variable type of services that they offer within the NICU as well. So I'm so happy that you all were able to advocate for your son the way you did. So when he passed away, were you all able to hold him, to memorialize him? Did you have a funeral? How did you all honor him?
Yes. So the day he passed away, like it was, we didn't necessarily know that morning, but when we got to the hospital, it was clear. So I basically held him like as soon as I got there until he passed away. My daughter was in a class. So my husband went to get her and he had to tell her what was happening to her brother, brought her to the hospital. And a photographer was actually coming there to deliver the pictures that he had taken for us in November. And well, I shouldn't say they call in a photographer when these situations are happening. And it was the same photographer, I should say, that took our pictures in November. So when he got there, he had our book of pictures that we took as a family with Lion in November. And he also was there to take pictures of us as a family as Lion passed away. So while it's sad, it's so special at the same time.
Well, absolutely. That's divine. You know, yeah. I always say that, you know, God sends his angels here on earth to whisper to us and give us those brief moments in the time we need the most. And the fact that it was the same photographer gives you all a sense of comfort as you know what was about to happen. And for him to be able to create those lasting memories that you'll never get back. It's so special and so divine. So yeah. I love that. I love that as a part of your story. So happy that happened for you.
Me too. Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely grateful for that. And he was such a sweet soul, the photographer. When he did the pictures in November, he kept saying, because he saw Lion and he saw like his hands and his feet and he knew some, you know, and he asked us what was going on. And we told him and he said, oh, but he's such a gift. He's such a gift. And when he came and did the pictures, when Lion passed away, he even had tears in his eyes. It just felt like, yeah, it was really special. The nurses that had taken care of Lion over the past 4 months, those that were there were all there. His primary nurse, who we now love, she was there with us the entire day. And that's another God wink, right? She was on, she was there. So we didn't have to deal with anyone new. She sat in the room with us the entire time. And we couldn't be more thankful that she was there, like just helping, right? Helping us through that. And so he passed away. I was holding him. And then my daughter came. So she was there to say goodbye as well. And then we got to, you know, we gave him one last bath. We prayed, did a blessing, changed his diaper one last time, just as much as we could, just kind of that one last time. They did moles with his hands and his feet for us. And we did have a funeral service for him in another state because we live in Chicago. We don't have family here. All of our family's down south. So we decided to bury him in the cemetery where my grandparents are. And my dad is, my mom will be, because she already scheduled for that. I have just a lot of my family members are there. So we bury him at the cemetery where there are other family members. And we just had a graveside service there.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I think that creating those memories are so special, and being able to honor your son by sharing your story is even more of another step in your journey towards mm-hmm. healing. So I would love for you to share just really how you've grieved through this, because as you mentioned before, you know, you've gone through this and then we went into a pandemic, and I feel like we still are in mm-hmm. this endemic. Obviously the panini corona is still going, right?
Right.
But I feel like we still have not taken a breath. Everyone's still holding their breath. We're all experiencing this still sense of collective grief and trauma from this pandemic. So having that compounded of grieving the loss of your baby is another level of grief I don't know many have experienced. You know, obviously for those who've experienced losses of lives through the pandemic, they understand. But I would love for you to share just really how have you been? How have you grieved through this unknown and uncertain time, as well as, you know, still trying to hold on and move forward with life and, you know, creating memories with your living child, of your baby who's passed on.
So yeah, it was 2020 was just like trash. Just throw it away. Just throw the whole year away. I mean, that's that, like, let's start there. Right. Just, but you know, after losing Lion and then coming back home, I will say this, I did not do it well initially. And not that you grieve right or wrong, this is why I say this. I went right back to work. Like, I took no time. I did not stop to like feel. I didn't stop to just be. And because I didn't know how to, I had never done it before. Even with all of my miscarriages, I just kept going. I just kept going. So I didn't know how. And I learned the hard way. You know, I learned the hard way, because just because I didn't stop to feel doesn't mean those feelings weren't there. And they will show up however they want to, when they want to, how they want to, right? And so I learned throughout the course of 2020 that I needed to get help. And that help looks different for everybody, but I needed to be open to help. And when I say that, meaning I joined a support group. My husband and I, we joined a support group. And with other couples who had also lost a baby specifically. And that support group helped us like just hear other people's stories and just know like we're not alone, and just like you don't feel like you're crazy and just, oh my gosh. The other thing that the support group helped me with personally was the moderator, one of the leaders, saw something in me that I wasn't able to see. She saw like, you're numb. Like you've gone through so much and you just don't even realize like how numb you are to just the pain that you've experienced. And through that, she recommended that I see a psychiatrist, and I did, and got on some medication for a while because that's what I needed. I didn't know I needed it at the time, but I did need it. I needed something to get me, because I couldn't see forward. I could see day to day, right? I could see like, I know I got to do this tomorrow. I know I have to do this the next day, but I could not see further than that. I wasn't able to. So it wasn't until I you know, just was open to doing that. And also had, I joke with people, I'm like, oh, I had a couples therapist, I had my personal therapist, I had a psychiatrist, I had some everybody trying to help me through this thing because it wasn't just losing Lion. I was grieving all of my losses all at the same time during a pandemic, trying to be a mother to the child that I've lost, to the children that have gone before him, and to the child that is still here, like, and work. Come on, Toria. Right? That's like, it's like, come on. But these are the things nobody told. I don't know. I just didn't know. So that's how my healing journey started. It started with being open to someone seeing something in me that I didn't see, and then being open to their recommendations and suggestions and taking it on and getting the help that I needed so that I could start like getting clarity for myself of, okay, what does the future look like? So then I was able to start thinking about the future a little bit more.
And I love that you were receptive to taking the help by seeing a psychiatrist, by taking the medication, by getting your mental health in order, as we have known that all of this compounded can affect us physically too, right? It's not just a mental thing, but it's also, it can mm-hmm. manifest physically, where it could look like, you know, anxiety and panic attacks, or issues with your stomach, or issues with other ailments in your body if we don't address the mental health concerns. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being transparent on that, because I think that it's going to help some people who are here who may be struggling and maybe mm-hmm. not understanding and can't see, like you said, past the, you know, one day to the next, and they just need that extra assistance. So definitely seek out the help of therapists, of psychiatrists, those who may help you if you're feeling any of these kind of ways that we are discussing today. So I would love for you to talk about any other resources that you've used to help you on your journey.
So I think like the main resources have been the support groups, mm-hmm. the support group that I was with. And subsequent to that, we've all stayed in contact with each other, which has been has been really helpful, just because then we can just like text each other and give each other support. One couple, they have gone on to have a second child, and that baby was in the NICU. So I was able, I'm like, hey, I get it. Call me anytime. Right. Ask me any questions. Let me help you out. Just recently, we took a trip for the first time since April of 2019. And we were pretty like, it was pretty nerve-wracking, because we were like, it was just a lot. And one of the couples, it was like, I get it. Yeah, we felt the same way. Here's some things we did to help us get through that. So it's just having that support, even after the group, having that community has been really helpful. I have been, you know, after like when I started to be able to see my way clearer, I started really thinking about what I wanted to do with like life and in the future. And so, you know, I don't have it all figured out, but I said to myself, like, okay, I need to be more intentional with how I spend my time with my family, with my thoughts and things of that nature. So just being more mindful about waking up early, spending time with God, praying, journaling, writing, whatever, however the spirit moves, I let it move. I take that time for myself, and taking care of my body physically. Because it's the one I have. So, and for so many years, it was just about, am I pregnant or am I not? It wasn't really about, am I healthy? Or fortunately, I'm fine, but it's just, that's just the mindset shift and change also, and just my healing journey. And I'm trying to think what else, eating differently, getting more rest, being more intentional about getting good rest at night. All those things are a part of keeping me moving forward in a healthy, productive way. And now, and as life went on, if you will, I was able to think more about how I want to honor Lion. And it's little, you know, when I say little things, it's just things like posting about him on social media, mentioning his name to people, wearing jewelry with his name on it, or that reminds me of him, that I've been able, that I've gotten from gifts from people. A friend of ours started a charitable fund for him that was really sweet. And one of the things we've done so far is just like plant a tree in a park near us. And so we have, you know, we can go by there and sit next to the tree and share stories about Lion. We have his, you know, last year on his birthday, we had cupcakes by the tree. So I want to do more things. So with that, so just, yeah.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So you're talking about, you've been thinking about the future. Are you all thinking about moving forward with IVF at some point?
You know what? No, I am a woman of a certain age now. And I'm over 40.
Yes.
And while that doesn't mean that, you know, I couldn't move on, I couldn't go on to have more children or anything like that. That's not what I mean. I just mean, for me, being at this age and having my, knowing that I have this balanced translocation and knowing that my risk of miscarriage or having a unbalanced embryo is higher now than it would be if I was younger. And having gone through this experience, I don't think we are in a position to do that again.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's honest, honest and truthful. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's, I mean, trust me, it was, you know, after going through it so many times, you're like, well, I can do it. I can do it. You know, you just say, I can do it. But being able to see my way clear and really thinking about the next 40 plus years of my life, what can I do to, how does that look? How do I want that to look? And while I would love it to look like, you know, my family being further expanded, that's not where I think me having another child isn't what that looks like right now.
Understood. So what encouraging words can you leave with our listeners, those who may have had some chromosomal issues in the past, those who may be feeling defeated from not getting real answers from having miscarriage after miscarriage, and those who are just still going through it? I mean, I still feel like we all are grieving still. still from this pandemic, and we have yet to sit with it and wrestle with all that has transpired. So what encouraging words can you leave with our listeners?
Oh my. So anyone with that has a known like chromosome translocation or anything like that, you are not broken. Number one, it's not, you did nothing wrong. And that doesn't mean that you can't have the life that you want as far as how your family looks. It just may mean you have to go through non-conventional methods to get there. And that's okay. For those going through NICU journeys or will potentially go through NICU journeys, hang in there. It is not easy, but you are the best advocate for your child. Period. That's, I mean, you are it. Period. Poo. Yes. And don't forget that and own that. Walk in that. And then for the rest of us that are still just kind of going through, a few things. Nope. The one thing that I always say to myself is, whatever it is, like, we'll be okay. We are going to be okay at the end of the day. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it, but we will. That's the one thing. So the other thing is, for those of us who have gone through this, who are journeying through this grief journey and child loss journey, we are living what some people would consider the impossible. Every day we get up and we put one foot in front of the other, we are already defying odds. So if we can get up and put one foot in front of the other every day and do what we're doing, anything else that come our way, what is it? Okay. So just remember that too, right? I'll leave with this. Some things I see on Instagram or wherever, and I pick it up. And there's one thing I have in front of my desk is I choose calm over worry and faith over fear. And we get to choose.
We do. We have the gift of choice. We have the privilege of the gift of choice. And I love the way, we can leave it with that. We choose calm over worry and faith over fear. Over fear. And that's it. That is it. I love it. So where can we connect with you after this episode? For those who are on social media, how can we get in touch with you?
So I'm on Facebook and Instagram. My Facebook is Turia Brown West. So my first name, T-U-R-I-A, and then Brown West. On Instagram, I am at The Lady West.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Turia, for sharing your story and your light and honoring Lion this way. This has been such a great conversation, and I know it'll be enriched for those who are listening.
Erica, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. Thank you for your platform and what you're doing in this community. So God bless you and kudos to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For show notes, go to sistersinloss.com to stay connected with us and join the Sisters in Loss community and receive my weekly newsletter. Please go to sistersinloss.com/newsletter. That is sistersinloss.com/newsletter. Please rate and review this episode, and I will talk to you next week.